All right, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. It's back in the day. Y'all don't know. Some of y'all don't know. A little hammer action. Hallelujah. Too legit to quit, huh? Can't touch this. Hallelujah. Let's look at our passage today, Philippians chapter 4. As we begin, look at verse 4. I'm going to be preaching from this text today. Hallelujah. Verse 4, it says in the Word of God, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we got to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? We not only have to rejoice, we got to rejoice always. Amen? We got to rejoice always. That means at all times. Hallelujah. It's easy to rejoice when things are going good. But it takes faith to rejoice when things are falling apart. Hallelujah. But we are not to rejoice only when things are going well. We are to rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. Joyful. Hallelujah. In other words, be full of joy. Full of joy. Hallelujah. Amen. How many want to be full of joy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants you to be full of joy. Joyful always. The Word of God says in Acts 2:28, which is a quote of Psalm 16:11. It's a great memory verse for worship. Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Hallelujah. When you come every time into the house of God, into the presence of God, there's an opportunity for you to be filled with joy. It's your choice, though. You can just stand there, just sing songs. Or you can plug in to the spirit realm. Get plugged in and say, God, I want you to fill me with joy in your presence. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to be joyful. Amen? Amen. Filled with joy. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, what does He fill you with? Despair? Does He fill you with melancholy? Austerity? I'm filled with the Spirit. Hey, stop running around. Seriousness? I mean, no, when you get filled with the Spirit, you get filled with joy. Hallelujah. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
Joy. Oh man, you guys are loud today. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, God, He loves to fill His people with joy. He really does. He loves to fill His people with joy. You know, joy is to be the mark of God's people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
1 Peter 1:8, it describes being filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, inexpressible and glorious joy. How many of you have been ever filled with inexpressible joy? Hallelujah. How many of you guys have experienced that glorious joy? That glorious joy. That glorious joy. When you get filled with glorious joy, I'm telling you, winning $1 million will not fill you with this joy. Filling yourself with alcohol won't get you there. A Will Ferrell or Jack Black movie doesn't even come close, hallelujah, to inexpressible and glorious joy. It's a joy that comes through faith in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And not only does God fill us with joy, He also anoints us with the oil of joy. And there's a difference. Hallelujah. It says in Psalm 45:7, God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Hallelujah. In the deep south, they say oil. The oil. I don't know how to say it. The oil of joy. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to turn to your neighbor, dab them on the head and say, that's the oil of joy. Receive that. Say, joy. Now don't smack each other. There won't be no joy there. And there's a difference. See, God not only wants to fill you with joy, He wants to anoint you with the oil of joy. Hallelujah. It's the oil of joy. You see, every time you rejoice, you're applying this oil. You're reapplying this oil. And some people say, Lord, I just want a little dab on the head. And the other people are like, Lord, I want it all over my head. I want to come out looking like I just came out the shower. Lord, some people say, no, I want the whole covering. I want to be completely drenched with the oil of joy. And you ever see people like that? Man, they look crazy. That's what King David did. Man, he was just drenched with joy when he saw the ark of covenant go into Jerusalem. He danced. Pretty much his clothes came off because he was dancing so hard. That's that glorious joy. And not just joy, but the oil of joy. Hallelujah. So every time you rejoice, I want you to apply that oil and believe that God's putting that oil on you, or His angels are putting that oil of joy on you. Get a lot of it on you. Because the next time the devil tries to get a grip on you, you just slip right out. Hallelujah. Tell you, man, people got the oil of joy all over them. Devil can't get much on them. Devil like, hey, come on, how about this lie? How about this temptation? Can't get nothing. That's oil. That's the oil of joy. Somebody trying to grab somebody who's oiled up. Hallelujah. And not only does God want you to get anointed with this oil, guess what? God also wants you to pour this oil out on others. Hallelujah. Word of God says in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 3, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to bestow on them the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Hallelujah. You ever take a careful look at church? Man, church is full of a lot of people that are just not happy to be in the house of God. Man, I was at Monica's wedding yesterday. You know? And Monica started with like 45 minutes of praise. Alright, and people, you know, Korean people aren't used to, you know, they're not even used to like 30 minutes of a ceremony. You know, they won't even go in the ceremony. They go, you know, they just drop off their money and then they go in the cafeteria and eat. And that's because, you know, it's the city culture. It's cramped in here, so people have to keep it moving. And these poor, you know, I'm sure there were Chief Sunims and Changwonims among them, and pastors even that came to the wedding. They came in looking for a short wedding, like a typical wedding, and they had to sit through 45 minutes of praise. And I'll tell you right now, there were some unhappy people in that crowd. They were just sitting down like, what is going on? What kind of wedding is this? Why is the praise so long? Why is it so loud in here? And I saw it. But I looked around and I saw people. I saw people who had the oil of joy. And I saw the other people. They were all dried up. They're unhappy. If you look in the church today, there's some gloomy people. It's like a cloud that just follows them around. You go and you talk to them, man, you just feel that cloud. Feels like they're more, if it seems like they're coming to a funeral service rather than a worship service. You talk to them, yeah. Man, brother, you know, somebody die in your family? What's wrong with you? That's what you're thinking, because they're so unhappy. There's no joy. What they need, people like that, is the oil of gladness. Like that supernatural oil where you don't even get a reason to laugh. You don't get a reason to be joyful, but you just rejoice. Because God's Spirit comes upon you with that oil. Hallelujah. People like that, just, we need somebody to come over to them, just pour a bottle of oil on their head. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want a solemn, serious, silent atmosphere in His house. The last time I checked the scriptures, it says God wants an atmosphere of joy. Psalm 98 verse 4. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Hallelujah. Man, when you got the joy, you can't wait to sing. You just want to burst with jubilant song. Hallelujah. Just want to burst. Hallelujah, because you got the joy all over you. That's the atmosphere God's looking for in His house. That's why I've been encouraging people who have been coming out to Sunday Swim. I've been encouraging y'all to shout in the house of God. When you're in the house of God, God don't want you to just remain silent. God wants you to shout. Hallelujah. God wants you to shout glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. And when you shout, man, hey, something happens in the spirit realm. You know, there are angels right here hanging out at our church. Or so I've been told through people who move in the prophetic. Man. Joy. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. The angel just ran over here and touched Peter. Man, I'm telling you, angels do not enjoy a quiet service. I mean, sometimes we gotta be quiet, you know. Sometimes, you know, God's bringing some kind of healing touch, you know, you gotta be quiet. Other times, God just wants you to be joyful. Right? Angels, man, when they hear joy, when they hear shouts of joy, they will come up in that room and they'll be like, oh yeah, some action now. Touch this person here, hallelujah. This person going through something here, hallelujah. This person's not even shouting, but I'm gonna touch him here, hallelujah. Angels are ministering spirits. Hallelujah. When they hear people shouting and rejoicing, that's when they start getting to work. Hallelujah. This means when we pray for people, we gotta anoint them with the oil of gladness. And just say, I release the oil of gladness upon you. Receive it. Alright, when you pray for people, have you ever done that? Oh, you gotta start trying that. All right, somebody's like real down, real down, real down. Can I get some prayer? All right, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, bless the Lord, do this and do that. Amen. All right, next time you'd be like, oh, you brother, you down. What you need is some oil. Some oil of gladness. Hallelujah. Let me anoint you right now. I got the Spirit of God right now on me. I'm anointed to do this. I'm like, just receive it. I anoint you with the oil of gladness. Bam! Receive it. Hallelujah. And I just, you know, just say amen and you walk away. I'm telling you, that person, they're going to start feeling the giggles. They're going to start feeling like, oh, like what? Loosen up. They go home and they just like hugging their wife and hallelujah, doing whatever they do in their joy. Because something changed in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. You may not see it immediately. Sometimes you will see it immediately. Huh. Sometimes you pray for somebody and they just start laughing. Receive that. Hallelujah, fire. It's like, what? I didn't tell you no joke. What's going on here? Why are you laughing? They get filled with that joy. And some people are more sensitive to that. Now, some people are, they're ministers that are controversial. That they dish out this thing called holy laughter. Okay, I think after about 15 years of this charismatic stuff, holy laughter is kind of dropped in the area of controversy. It's not as controversial anymore. Because more and more people are experiencing it. But man, the people come in all sad, depressed. You know, they can't pay the bills. Marriage is falling apart. They just feel so hopeless. And this minister will just come over to them and just say, fire! And then they fall into the power or whatever. And then they just start laughing on the ground. And the people around them start catching it. Ronnie Howard Brown, he's a minister that moves like that. Like, God just, he just kept asking God, Lord, your people need joy. Your people need joy. Lord, anoint me to give people the oil of gladness. Just like it says in Isaiah 61, to bestow on them the oil of gladness. Use me in that way. And so God answered his prayer. So you go to his revivals, man, people just laughing. And people are not used to that. They're like, whoa, why is everyone laughing? When I saw it first, man, it made me very uncomfortable. I was like, man, what the, why, hey, stop, why, hey, I want in, hey. It's strange. I was watching a video on YouTube of another controversial Pentecostal preacher named Kenneth Hagin. This guy, you know, this guy, real controversial, right? In the Word of Faith movement and Rhema Church and, you know, if you know the whole prosperity, you know, teachings and controversy with that. But man, Kenneth Hagin, man, he's an anointed man. I'm reading his book, man. His book, no, he knows what he's talking about. All right? He's not the most, like, greatest, he's not the greatest theologian, right? But he knows what he's talking about. He knows how to move in the Spirit of God. I saw this video of him, man. It's before I even read his book. This old guy, Kenneth Hagin. I'm not talking about Kenneth Copeland. I'm talking about Kenneth Hagin, his mentor. He comes over, and then there's all these, like, serious pastors, like, in their three-piece suits, and they look all serious, and they're like, what's Kenneth Hagin doing? Right? And they're all sitting there, and they don't have a smile on their face. And Kenneth Hagin can't stop laughing. And he just comes over, and comes over to this crowd who's sitting together, and he goes, joy! And all of a sudden, burst out laughing. I'm telling you, like 20 people burst out laughing. It was the weirdest thing in the world. And all these pastors that were all stern, they were all like, I kid you not, you can see the video and it's on YouTube. I was like, what is going on? And so I thought it was maybe one time occurring. He comes over here. He goes, joy! And I was like, wow, there is an oil of gladness that can be bestowed upon people. You don't have to counsel them for 2 hours to get them to get a smile on their face. All right, just give them that oil, hallelujah. I mean, it is up to them to keep that oil, you know, continually upon their life. And they have to rejoice themselves. Sometimes they need a little help. And God uses you and me to bestow upon those who are mourning the oil of gladness. Amen?
Amen?
You know, joy is not just some feel-good emotion. Joy will save somebody's life. Joy will release people's healing. Joy will strengthen a person to go through some hard stuff. Hallelujah. Joy is good. Joy is essential to our Christian walk. That's why the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Be joyful always. Don't just rejoice, be full of that joy. Hallelujah. You know, joy, you can be filled with it. You can be anointed with it. You can anoint others with it. But you know, every single day, we've got to be careful because there's things around us that can steal away our joy and cut this flow. Right? Every day, there's things around us that can steal our joy. And my message for you today is, no matter what comes your way, no matter what anyone says to you, whatever, no matter what anyone says to you, don't forfeit your joy. 기쁨을 포기하지 마라. Hallelujah. 기쁨이 God's people의 능력입니다. 능력. Now when it comes to your joy, you gotta take advice. I'm a little rapper from the late 80s. You gotta, when it comes to your joy, man, you gotta cherish your joy. You gotta be like, man, this is, you can't touch this joy. But you gotta take advice from MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Every day we got opportunities to get stressed out, to get upset, or to get filled with a grumbling spirit. Alright? Somebody may be talking smack about you. Your employer may be treating you unfairly. An ajumma may put an elbow on your back in the subway. And your plans may not fall through. There's constantly things that threaten to steal our joy. But if we want to live out the perfect will of God for our lives, it is essential that we rejoice always. Amen. That we don't let anybody touch our joy. It's something that the world cannot take away. Hallelujah. And the only way that we can rejoice always is if we determine in our hearts, I will stay in peace no matter what happens today. No matter what anyone says, nobody going to touch my joy. You say, God, I thank you in advance for your grace. And I'm going to trust that you're working all things out for my good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you equip yourself with this kind of attitude, and then later in the day you face an inconvenience, or your plans don't go your way, it's not a big deal. It doesn't have to catch you by surprise. Hallelujah. You can simply say, can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 16:22, no one will take away your joy. Jesus said, no one will take away your joy. Hallelujah. This means that no person can steal away your joy. This means no circumstance can force you to get upset. You see, brothers and sisters, it's totally up to you. You have complete control about how happy you're going to live. But people make excuses all the time. Now, I'll be happy, you know, if my spouse treats me better. You know? Or I'll be happy if my workplace wasn't filled with so many negative people. Or if I had some more money, I wouldn't be so stressed out. You know, and people put all these conditions on their joy. But you see, the thing is, those things don't have to steal away your joy. Jesus said that. He said, no one will take away your joy, which means you can rejoice right where you are. Even if nothing changes, hallelujah. You know, you might be in a difficult situation, or your circumstance may be unfair, unjust. We know all about all those hagwon contracts, right? I mean, people getting bad end of the stick, right? People told one thing, they arrive and they get another. Right? Or people say, oh, we're going to pay you next month. And then they don't. You know, I mean, well, there's some unjust things that happen in the industry of, you know, hagwons. Or some of the private Christian schools that are in this, around the city. But you see, brothers and sisters, you can have joy right in the middle of your adversity if you just simply keep the right approach. If you will arm yourself with Philippians 4:6, rejoice in the Lord always. Things that used to upset you or had the potential to frustrate you, they don't have to upset you anymore. When you arm yourself with this attitude, you will be able to rejoice always. When you take the word of God and the promises of God and you put them, hallelujah, deep down in your spirit, no matter what happens, you can rejoice. And you see, when you rejoice through adversity, you become more likable. You make better decisions. You have better health. You see, the benefits are really for you. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I want you to make a turning point today and say in your heart, I'm done with letting people and circumstances and traffic and ajumas in the subway and disappointments always upset me. Today I'm making a decision, I refuse to give away my joy. I won't let anyone touch my joy. Hallelujah. And you see, circumstances are never the problem. We always try to blame our circumstances for our lack of joy. It's not the problem. It's our approach. Because you know, you could take somebody who has the right attitude and place them in that same circumstance, and they will rejoice. Hallelujah. Man, think about your hagwon situation and you're just like unhappy. Or you may think about your marriage. Hallelujah, not me. But, you know, you might get upset. Hallelujah. And, you know? And we think it's about our circumstances. But think about Apostle Paul. What if he was in your situation? He might struggle a little bit. He might have a little hard time. I'll tell you what he'll do. At the end of the day, he will rejoice. Not just at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, he will rejoice. Even when he don't feel like it, he will rejoice. Hallelujah. He'll get filled with joy in God's presence. He'll put on that oil of gladness like he puts on lotion in the morning. Hallelujah. And he will rejoice. You see, people like the Apostle Paul, who rejoice always, they know that God is in control. No matter what happens around, they know that God is sovereign. That God has a purpose. They're trusting that God is ordering their steps. And they're trusting that God makes all things work for the good of those who love Him. Hallelujah. See, those are the things that a person is keeping in their spirit. Brothers and sisters, we can't control the traffic. Hallelujah. We can't control how our boss treats us. We can't control how our spouse behaves. But we can control our approach to life. Our attitude. The Word of God says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. Hallelujah. You know, brothers and sisters, you can live a joy-filled, faith-saturated, peace-filled life right now without changing a single thing around you. And you know what? Hopefully the things that are bothering us, they will change. And God will answer those prayers. And He's hearing those prayers. But we got to be able to reach a point where we say, Lord, even if nothing changes around me, I'm still going to rejoice. Because my joy is not found in my circumstances. My joy is found in You. God, I know You're a loving Father. I know You got good plans for me. And I will rejoice in You always. Hallelujah. You know, anytime that we have to have something in order to be happy, oh boy, devil can use that as a snare against you. Anytime you say, I have to have that car. You know, that's what we do as children, don't we? You know? Daddy, if I don't have them Legos, I will not be happy. I have to have it. I have to have the Transformers. I have to have that Nintendo game. You know? You have to have it. Hallelujah. You know what? We don't grow up from that attitude sometimes. We still have it. Lord, I have to have that new iPod. Or I have to have that girl. Lord, I've been praying for her. I have to have her. Or that brother. Lord, I will not be happy until I have her in my arms. That was kind of looky. Brothers and sisters, if you think you have to be happy, if you feel like you got to be married in order to be happy, you know what? The enemy's going to use that against you. It's a trap. He can use that against you to make you depressed, to make you desperate, to use it to cloud your judgment. When you're rejoicing is in some future circumstance you're hoping on rather than just in the Lord right now, devil will use that to trap you, to make you make decisions that are not God's best for you. That's why we got to rejoice in the Lord. Don't fall into these traps, brothers and sisters. You can be happy today. Right where you are. Hallelujah. You know, when we have to have something, it's a sure sign that something's out of balance. Something's out of balance. Most of the time, when you have this attitude, it only delays God's best for you. When you refuse to be happy, unless you have that, whatever it is you're wanting, right? That missions field, or that ministry. When you won't rejoice, you say, I gotta have it, Lord. Sometimes that will cause God's perfect will to be delayed in your life. Brothers and sisters, it's good to have desires and dreams, and it's good to pray toward these things that you're hoping for. But don't wait for these things to begin enjoying your life and being happy. Don't live in tomorrow. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to get married when I was like first grade. I met this Puerto Rican girl named Laura Laya. She gave me a little Valentine's Day card. Yeah. She only gave out like 7. And I was one of them. Man, met Laura, I was like, Lord. I didn't say Lord, but I was like, I gotta get married. I wanna marry her. Right? And all throughout my youth, and I was obsessed. Not obsessed, but like, I was close to it. With marriage. And you know, you watch all these romantic movies, and you listen to all the radio songs, and you start thinking, man, I gotta have somebody to be happy. I got to have somebody. And you start to say, man, I will not be happy unless I get married. You know, God would he'll just speak to me sometimes. And he'll say, it's good that you're praying about your marriage. But you know, Brother Michael, you know, that one time he said, you know, he was praying for me. He's like, Brother, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me that you have been praying about your marriage partner all week. That's right. I pray for every week. Especially this week. And God is telling you, just be happy in Him. Just wait on the Lord. Don't spend so much energy on that. It will come in God's time. And you know, I needed to hear that. Because I was a junior in college. And it wouldn't be until 9 years later I get married. But man, right then and there, I wanted to get married like next year. I wanted to get married right out of college. I wanted to be like one of those Midwest folks. Or one of those Texans, you know? We just get married right out of college, you know? I could do it. Hallelujah. We in New York City, we people don't get married till they're 30, you know? I'm to get married. And I was like, Lord, I didn't say it explicitly, Lord, I refuse to be happy unless I'm getting married, you know? But that was really the attitude of my heart, and God had to check me on that several times. And the devil would use that to ensnare me. I had crushes, man, I can't remember a single time in my life, from Laura Leia until Aaron, okay? I can't remember a single period of my life where I went more than 2 months without a crush. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? Come on now. Are you going just from crush to crush? You know, it's kind of fun, you know? It was like just exhilarating being in that person's presence. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't even talk to them, you just kind of get close to them, and you're like, woo! I just went from crush to crush. I'm not telling you, man, the devil used that to trap me sometimes. I spent a whole lot of money sometimes, just like giving like anonymous gifts, sending flowers, spending time writing long emails. Man, if I could turn back the clock, you know, I would want all that back. I only get to marry one, you know? And she's a special one, hallelujah. A precious jewel. Hallelujah. Well, this is, don't let that trap, don't let the devil trap you with that. Anytime you gotta have to have something, I gotta have something for me to be happy. Okay. You're setting yourself up for a trap. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. And He will give you all the desires of your heart. He has perfect timing. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you God has you exactly where He wants you today. Now, if you've been walking with the Lord and you've been really seeking out His will, even if you haven't been doing it perfectly, God in His grace, He has you exactly where He wants you. There are lessons for you to learn, people for you to meet. He has you exactly where He wants you, and He wants you to enjoy every season of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't live life on hold. Your joy should simply come from living in His presence. In your presence, you fill me with joy. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, if you're rejoiced right where you are, God will tell you, He will take you exactly where He wants you to be. And He's promised to give you the desires of your heart. And if there's something you really want, you submit those desires to the Lord. And Father, I know, you know the desires you placed in my heart. Lord, you know that I want to get married. Lord, you know I want that ministry. Lord, you know I want to see my family changed. Lord, you know I want to go to that country. I'll tell you right now. God, I'm waiting. I'm not waiting on that to be joyful. Lord, I'm choosing today to rejoice right where I am. That's got to be the attitude of our hearts, brothers. That's the heart that God is looking for. That's the heart of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did I go 30 minutes? Now I could preach for another 30, but no, I'm trying to keep these messages 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm gonna just give you a little piece right here. Let me give you a little piece. Turn to Luke chapter 6. This is a little secret. Little secret of joy. It's a little backwards, but when you do it, hallelujah, the joy is gonna bubble up. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. You know when it's most difficult to rejoice? It's when somebody treats you unfairly, unjustly, especially if it's about your faith. But then you really have a hard time rejoicing because now you're dealing with God. It's because of God that you just got persecuted. Says, so like, God, I can't rejoice in you. You're the reason why I got slammed today. You're the reason why I got slandered today. Alright? This is what Jesus says about that. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, wonked at you, and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. Don't rejoice the day after that day. Rejoice in that day. Hallelujah. And leap for joy. Because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus says, if somebody excludes you, rejects you, insults you, not just because of you, but because of me, rejoice in that day. And not only rejoice, hallelujah. Here's a little secret. Jesus said, let me throw a little secret. He didn't have to say this. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, when's the last time, man, somebody persecuted you and you walked away and you did a little leap of joy? Thank you. I mean, that's backward. I was like, man, what's wrong with you? But Jesus is saying, next time your classmates, they exclude you because you're a Christian. Right, you go make your way over to the bathroom. Close that stall if you want to. And you do a little leap. can't touch this. When your coworkers insult you, or your boss unjustly denies you a promotion, on your way to the water cooler, you get some inches up in the air. Can't touch this. I don't say it to them, but you know. Just leap for joy, Jesus said. Leap for joy. Leap for joy. Hallelujah. We're on this earth. Heaven's up there. When you leap, you get closer to heaven. Hallelujah. Every time you leap for joy, you're getting closer to heaven. You're trying to touch heaven. Hallelujah. And heaven will come down and bless you. Hallelujah. Because great is your reward when you go through that kind of stuff. That's an act of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give me a leap for joy. Larry, give me a leap for joy right now. Hallelujah. 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 Mina, give me a leap for joy. Come on, Mina. Give me a little leap. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is when your body leaps, your spirit leaps. Hallelujah. And what you, when you do something backward like that, you might not even feel like doing that. Just do it. And your spirit will change. It was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because your spirit's the place of faith. It's like, whoa, what's going on? Usually, Danny just goes in the bathroom and cries. But today, he's leaping for joy. Yeah. Woo, what's going on? What's going on? Someone's acting in faith. Hallelujah. I didn't say which Danny. Hallelujah. Leap for joy. Your spirit will leap. Don't get upset and angry. No, you want to rejoice and let God take care of it. You know, if you stop fighting your own battles and you let God fight your battles for you, I guarantee you that God will be just to make sure that you get everything that you deserve. If you know you worked your butt off and you deserve that promotion, He's going to make sure that you get that reward one way or another. But if you fight your own battles, you forfeit it. God's like, all right, you want to handle it? Go ahead. You just handle it on your own then. God's not, they don't give up that quick, but, you know. Right? But when you trust God, and God's like, oh, you trust in me. Oh, you're not getting angry. Oh, you're rejoicing. All right, that's right, my son. That's exactly what I'm looking for. All right. You going to let me fight this? I'm going to fight it. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to make sure. Hallelujah. I'm a God of justice. I am a God of justice. Hallelujah. Psalm 61 verse 7 says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit, check this out, a double portion in their land and everlasting joy will be theirs. A double portion in their land and everlasting joy will be theirs. Brothers and sisters, the joy of God's people is an everlasting joy. Amen? Amen. That means that nothing should touch our joy. Nothing. Nothing. You ever chew a stick of gum? Right? How long does the flavor last? Just a few minutes. Man, that's how long some people's joy lasts. And coming to a good worship service, they say, I rejoice, I rejoice. And then they get in the car, and they start driving down near Hypermart, and some other car just cuts them off. Man, what's the way? Hey! Just like that stick of gum, their joy is gone already. Brothers and sisters, that's not the kind of joy that Word of God's talking about here in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is talking about an everlasting joy. Hallelujah. This is a joy that lasts on and on and on. You don't have to give it up, but it's up to you, brothers and sisters. So rejoice in the Lord today. Hallelujah. Just as Nehemiah said, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's pray. Lord Father, we just thank you, God, that instead of shame, you're giving your people a double portion. Instead of disgrace, we will rejoice in our inheritance. God, we pray that, God, you will give us a double portion in this church. In all the areas of need that you know that we've been presenting before you. God, give us a double portion so that that everlasting joy will be ours. Hallelujah. But Lord God, even if we don't see anything immediately after this fast or after the things that we're praying for, God, we're still going to choose to rejoice in you. Because the joy that you give us is a joy that no one can take away, just as you said, Jesus. So Lord, when it comes down to it, it's not the circumstances that are stealing away joy. It's up to us whether we're giving it away or not. May we not forfeit our joy. May we not 포기해 our 기쁨, O God. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. God, when I'm going through something tough, I need your joy, O God, Lord, to strengthen me, O God. When you test me, O God, Lord, I need your joy, O God, Lord. It is your joy which I'm not going to go to a cookie to get strength. I'm not going to get a cup of coffee. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to go leap for joy. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord will be my strength. Oh, hallelujah. This church, hallelujah. May this church, oh God, be unstoppable, Lord. May the people of this church be unstoppable in fulfilling the perfect will of God for their lives. God, I know that, God, you have a will for this church. And these visions that you've been casting, these prophetic words and visions you've been bringing through all these different people. God, this vision is not just for the church as a whole, but these visions also apply to each and every individual. And God, where the devil has been lying to us and saying, this is only for the church, this ain't for you. This is only for the church, this ain't for you. You can't turn this around and apply it as a personal application. Lord, we rebuke the lie of the devil, God. And we receive, oh God, Lord, the wonderful vision that you have both for this church and for our lives, oh God. So we praise you, God. Lift up your glorious name as we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, guys, let's stand up. Let's stand up and continue to just really just shout to God. Yeah, sorry. I'm just filled with joy.